Welcome, VVCC. Hey, our kids, preschool through fifth grade, 4 years old through fifth grade, you are dismissed. Go see Tanny and her crew in the back and have a wonderful time. Man, I've come a long way, Tanny. I didn't forget to make that announcement. That's great. I love Walmart. Anybody else? All right, wow, okay, I see how it is. Let me tell you why I love Walmart. Yesterday, I got to spend a good chunk of time at Walmart with my 17-month-old son. And we covered a lot of ground, let me tell you. So we get there, and the whole idea for my 17-month-old boy, gosh, he's gonna be a year and a half next month, I can't believe it, but the whole idea is for him to burn off as much energy as possible before nap time. And so I set him down, and we are off, and he is toddling all over that big, wide open, beautiful space known as Walmart. And you know what? He's calling the shots. He tells me what aisle we're going down. He tells me where we're gonna go and when we're gonna get there, and he stops when he wants and he goes when he wants. Micah calls the shots at Walmart. Now I promise I'm keeping him safe and I'm watching him and everything's good and I'm really calling the shots, but boy, it really looks like it sometimes that he's in control. He does this thing where he says, more, 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 I want more. And he'll point at something and say, we're going there. And he saw a dog on the wall, a picture, he said, we're going there, dog. Dog. And so I'm following him. Micah calls the shots at Walmart. Who calls the shots in your life? Who has the final say in where you go and in what you do? The answer to that question makes all the difference in the world. Who's steering you? What's steering you? What's your internal operating system, so to speak? Where you live, where you work, where you play. You make 5 million decisions in any day. It's not a scientific fact, but a lot. Who or what's calling the shots in your life? What I submit to you is that this is one of the biggest questions that you and I can answer. You have a lot going on in your life, don't you? You have a lot of decisions that you're making. What's guiding that? Who's guiding that? Is it something that's so settling for less? Is it that celebrity? Is it that social media platform? Is it that human relationship? And it becomes almost like you're being directed and guided by a toddler who has no idea where they're going. Who or what is guiding you? Today, we're going to answer that question together. And if you've been in this in church in any form or another, if you have ever opened a Bible or been inside a church doors, you already know what the answer should be, right? It's Jesus. But let's put our lives next to that answer and say, is there anything off in mine? Is there anything off in what I see and how my morning already has been or my week or this season of life? Who has a final say in my life? And our main point this morning is pretty obvious, and it's this: Jesus is king over everything, including your life and mine. Jesus is king over everything. Why should Jesus be king? And what does that even mean in my life? Well, let's answer those questions today by looking at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be starting in verse 13 as we ask ourselves the question of why is Jesus king of everything? Why should he be? And what does that mean for me and my life? Colossians chapter 1, And as you're getting ready to dive in there, we're right in the middle of this Meet Jesus series where we're saying, hey, who is this Jesus? Why should I believe in him? We've talked about Jesus, the Jew who came through this Old Testament lineage, this plan from God that he knew about from day one. Last week, we talked about Jesus, the Son of God. And today, we're going to talk about Jesus, the King. In Paul's writing, this Apostle Paul, this guy who's met with Jesus, is writing to the church of Colossae. He's never met them before. He's in jail. He's in prison. So if you're sitting here now, we're doing better than Paul, right? And he's writing this letter to this church body. And one of the things that's going on in Colossae is they're forgetting who Jesus is. They've started going, maybe it's Jesus plus some other stuff. Maybe there's other things or people or, in their case, angels even that I should worship. And Paul tells the church of Colossae and he tells us, no, Jesus is your king. Jesus is the one who calls the shots. So if you're ready to go, if you're ready to dive into Colossians 1, say I'm ready. All right, let's pray as we continue our time. Jesus, what a wonderful name it is. Yeshua, God saves. We worship you. We praise you. We magnify your name right now. God, the fact that you're even listening is amazing. The fact that you are even here is incredible, and we just praise you for that truth. And so, God, we are all in this morning, ready for what you have for us. You're already here. You're already here this morning. And we just say, God, with hearts open, say, God, would you continue to work in our own lives? Lord, would you get your word into us? And God, would you apply that in our life this week? Lord, there's people here in this room or online who are going through some heavy stuff. Would you speak directly to that? Would we walk out of here a little more in love with you, a little closer to you, and a little more ready to do your good, pleasing, and perfect will for us in our lives? We love you so, so much. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Why should Jesus be king of everything? Well, point number one, the king has rescued us. God has gone on a rescue mission for you and I. The king has rescued us. Look with me in verse 13 as we start off this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I'm going to pause right there. We're going to see in the next verse that Jesus is a part of this saving effort, but we start off with God the Father. He has rescued us. Sometimes we forget the reality that we were in darkness. We were totally lost and without hope, Paul writes elsewhere in Ephesians. He rescued us. I love those stories. I don't know if I love them, but I'm so intrigued by these stories of people who get stranded at sea. They get shipwrecked and they get stranded at sea and somehow they make it out alive for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, one of them I was looking at was like 117 days. Can you imagine being shipwrecked, hanging on to dear life, and somehow trying to make it? First of all, I'd be in trouble. I can't fish worth beans. So that's a problem. Wouldn't it be 117 days for me? But I'm so intrigued by that. But something that gets me is I just think about what the nights are like. Being in complete and total darkness. I can't imagine. What I love about these stories is the rescue part, where somehow they end up in some, you know, shipping lane where they find them and bring them on board. And it's just like incredible. Think about that moment where you've been lost at sea, you've been shipwrecked, you're without hope, you're barely hanging on, and you see it. You see your source of hope. That's what Jesus is for us. We were in complete and total darkness, without hope, without God, shipwrecked. And the King of Kings brought us over, I love this, into the kingdom of the Son he loves. God brought us. If we were to look at all of Colossians, there's so much about light. He's transferred us over into this light from darkness to light. And those people who were all shipwrecked, and again, often many of them wrote books. They shared their stories. So let me tell you what it was like. And for those of us who've been saved by Jesus, we get to say, hey, let me tell you, world, what it's like. I was in darkness. I am in light. Now I get to, as in 1 Peter, it says, proclaim the excellencies of him who took us from darkness into his marvelous light. Don't forget your rescue story. Don't forget what Jesus has done in your life. How he transferred you from the domain of darkness to that kingdom of light. May we remember our rescue story. There's that one song by Zac Brown. You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You are my rescue story. You lifted me up from the ashes. You carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You are my rescue story. Don't forget your rescue story. Let's look in verse 14 as we continue this idea of the King rescuing us. Verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 14 of Colossians chapter 1 has this to say. As we get to verse 14. I want to say for all the slide people, though, you don't get it. I hop around a lot. And so our slide people are amazing here. I just want to give them such kudos. In whom we have redemption. This is Jesus. In whom we have redemption. We have been rescued by Jesus. We have been redemption. This word is we've been bought back. This is kind of this idea, this picture of slavery, being you were enslaved and now you've been made free. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The King who has rescued us has forgiven us. That's part of our rescue story. How might you need to be reminded about God's forgiveness for you today? Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for years or decades. And you go, yeah, I get that. I remember that from long ago. And you move on and you, first of all, we never graduate from any of that, from forgiveness. But maybe you're sitting there and you're beating yourself up for the things that you've done or things that you're doing. Each and every mistake, each and every sin, each and every wrongdoing, there is nothing too big that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords didn't pay for. That affects how we see our past, that affects how we see our present, and how we see our future. As he continues to work in us and help shape us more and more like him, as we become more and more like Jesus, we have to remember that we worship a King who forgives us. How do you need to embrace forgiveness in your own life today? Think about in Book of John, there's the woman who was caught in adultery, and it was a big setup by the Pharisees to begin with. And they all want to pick up stones and stone her, and Jesus, he writes something in the dirt. We have no idea what. I'm so fascinated by that. I want to know what he wrote. And they all, one by one, left, these Pharisees. And Jesus says, I don't condemn you. And then he basically says, I forgive you. And he says, go now and sin no more. I forgive you. It's gone. Go now and change. In light of my forgiveness to you, live changed. And that's what we get to do as rescued people. Why should Jesus be King of everything? What does it mean? Well, first of all, the King has rescued us. Second of all, the King is supreme. The King is supreme. So at start here, one of my favorite things, aside from all the newer people that come, which by the way, guys, we're having a lot of people coming through Start here. It's super exciting. I see many of you out there right now. It's really cool what God is doing. If you haven't signed up for Start here and you're newer within the past 5 years or whatever, just come. We'd love to have you. It's coming up again in June. One of my favorite things, besides all the new people, besides talking about Jesus, all that great stuff, is the pizza at the end of second week. Guys, we have Vinny's from next door. Anybody like Vinny's? Vinny's is amazing, right? Okay, so something that I'm loving right now is the Supreme pizza. And I never stopped to think about what it means to be a Supreme pizza. But it's all the goodies, right? It's all the vegetables and all the meat and everything you could ask for all on one pizza. It's amazing. It is supreme. And I wondered, what's the origin of the Supreme pizza? Why is it, they're everywhere, right? Any place you go, right? It started in, the mid-20th century. And it was this idea of just advertising to the people, Pizza Hut and Domino's and all those lesser places than Vinny's. It was this way of advertising to them, hey, this is the best pizza we got. This is the cream of the crop. This is the best of the best of the best. Supreme. It's top-notch, top level. Well, we're going to talk about Jesus' supremeness. Was that a little cheesy, by the way? I told myself I wasn't going to make that joke, and I did. Oh, man. But we're going to talk about Jesus is the top. He's the best of the best of this. So when Paul is writing the church of Colossae, he's saying, listen, everything else is lesser. Jesus is greater than all of it, and that matters so much. It affects your whole life. And Paul is saying this in 27 different ways in the book of Colossae. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is the best of the best of the best. There's no comparison. So let's break down what he says here. Verse 15, as we talk about the King is supreme. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Let's pause right there. So this is important. He's the image of the invisible God. We kind of can take this for granted. This is a huge truth that Jesus is 100% God. He came fully God and fully man. This is important, number one, because God's word tells us this. But number two, we needed that perfect sacrifice for us. Fully God. He's the image of the invisible God. We see this again and again in Scripture. And then it says he's the firstborn over all creation. Now, you might read that and go, wait a second. He wasn't born, right? We know Jesus is eternal. So Paul's not talking about this order as in like there was a time when Jesus was not. There wasn't. He's saying that he's the best of the best. He's got priority. He's got supremacy. He's first in rank. That's what he means by firstborn. Any firstborns here, by the way? Any firstborns? Yeah, right? We know we're best, right? I mean, let's just be, just kidding. Jesus, first in rank and priority over all creation. Again and again, Paul's just hitting us with wave after wave after wave. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. What are we going to do about it? Look with me in verse 16 as it continues, this idea of the supreme Son. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Isn't that cool to think about? Jesus the King, everything was created through him. When you go out to your car later today and you get that beautiful view from the parking lot of Sedona, or you look out over at Mingus, God created that. Isn't that incredible to think about? We need to be reminded of that. This creative King, there's not a square inch of our world that God's fingerprints are not on. And seen and unseen, the spiritual world, it was all made and created through him. Nothing that you are facing and experiencing today, nothing is bigger than him. Nothing. And I love this. It's created through him and for him. Everything. Everything is made for his glory. Everything you do is for the glory of King Jesus, whether we realize it or not. So what this week might be your for him opportunity? What is it this week that you do where you say, Jesus, I can do this for you? The work that you do, the people you interact with, who you talk with at the grocery store, there is no menial, there's no lesser task in the kingdom of God. Everything matters. Doing your taxes can glorify him, which, by the way, if you haven't done them yet, you better. Watch out. Changing your baby's diaper can glorify him. Yes, I need reminders of that. Everything you do glorifies him, has the potential, because it's all for him. And no one else lives the life that you live. No one else has the circumstances you have. No one else has the influence in the specific ways that you have. What are your for him opportunities that God has given you? Look with me in verse 17 here as this continues. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, he is before all things. In him all things hold together. So the supreme King Jesus, we see nothing's able to exist apart from him. Everything's dependent. It all holds together. It's all woven together by the King. And now let's go to verse 18. I love this next part. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn. There's a firstborn word again. Among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Supremacy. He's the head of the body. Jesus loves, Paul loves in the gospel, or all throughout the New Testament, love this idea of the body of Christ. The church is not a building. It's not four walls. The church is the people. We're the body of Christ. This is a beautiful idea that we're all different components of it. Not everyone is supposed to be a thumb or an eye or an ear. That'd be a really weird body, right? If we're all just a bunch of eyes or something. We all make up this unique, beautiful thing called the body of Christ. And guess who is at the head? It is Jesus Christ. I love the things that God says about his church. In the word of God. Paul says elsewhere that it's a pillar of the truth. We are meant to display to the world the wisdom of God. God chose to use this thing called the church to make him known in our world and to make him known in the Verde Valley. He is the head of it. Jesus the King is the head, where everything else flows out of. So he's the beginning. He's the firstborn. Everything he has supremacy. Everything means everything. Let me put it this way. Imagine you got a chair up here. Let's say this is a chair. We're just going to pretend. You've probably heard this before, some of you. This chair is your heart, right? It's the seat of your heart, your motivations, your affections, your cares. It's the throne of your heart. What goes on to the throne of your heart? Again, who calls the shots? Is it that person there on the throne of my heart? Is it what people think of me? Is it my bank account? What goes on the throne of your heart? What has supremacy? And here's the thing that we see based on these passages about Jesus. Jesus refuses to be bowing down to anything in your life. He refuses to have just a little part of your heart. He deserves and desires the whole throne of it. All of it. You see, we don't worship a compartmentalized king. He just wants a little bit of you. He cares about you way more than that. We worship a comprehensive king who says, I want the throne of your heart, the seat of your affections and your desires. I am supreme. He loves you that much. He cares too much about you to be second place in your life. How do I know that Jesus should be king of everything? Why should he be? What does that mean for me? The king has rescued us. The king is supreme. And the king has reconciled us. The king has reconciled us. Look with me in verse 19. The king has reconciled us. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Once again, another wave from Paul saying, Jesus is king, Jesus is supreme. The fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. And I love that he was pleased. It makes me think about, you remember Jesus' baptism early on in the Gospels? God speaks out loud in front of everyone. What does he say? He says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. I love that. There's like emotion involved in this. God was so excited for this to happen. It says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, Jesus took on the cross. See, you and I don't worship a God who just didn't really care and went through this and went through the motions. He's pleased. There's pleasure. There's joy in what he's done for you as king. We serve a compassionate king. And all the fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. Look with me in verse 20 as we look at our last verse for this morning. And through him, through Jesus, to, here's our word, reconcile to himself all things. By the way, all is all over this passage. I can't remember how many times it's like six or seven or something. All. In the Greek, it's pas. It can mean all or every. But there's a version of it multiple times throughout, this comprehensiveness of the king. It's not a little, it's all, it's everything. It's supreme. All things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus has reconciled. What does that mean? Well, a good way to put it is this. Some of you maybe have heard this. When we think about the gospel, imagine two cliffs. There's a cliff on one side, there's a cliff on the other side, and there's a big chasm in between. And there's no way for us to get to the other side. One side is God, and the other side is us. We have no way to get there. We can't jump. We can't vault it. There's nothing you and I can do. But that's where Jesus came in. Fully God, fully man, supreme king, the comprehensive king came to die on the cross for you and me and to make a way between those cliffs to bring reconciliation. What was broken in the fall, beginning of Genesis, broken, Jesus brought back together through his death and burial and resurrection. That is reconciliation. Do you know this Jesus? Do you need to be reminded of this Jesus? Say, maybe today's that day where you renew and say, you know what? I've been going a different way. It's time for me to come back to him, to follow him, to seek him, to make him the comprehensive king of my life. Jesus came as a baby. And yet as a baby, he was still acknowledged as king. You know the story. The wise men come and they offer him gifts. They bow before him to worship him. Here's our gold and silver and frankincense, myrrh. I think I added one in there. You're king. We see at the cross, he's wearing a crown of thorns. And the king cries from the cross, it is finished. I have paid it all for you. from start to finish, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that I am King. Is that who you want calling the shots in your life? Or do you want to settle for the toddler, so to speak, of this world that'll lead you every which way? What does this look like for you this week as we look to come to a close? What is your next step? My question for you is, what do you need to give to King Jesus? Your marriage? Your finances? Your parenting? Your words? Your wallet? Your just very life? What specifically do you need to give to Jesus this week? Say, Jesus, you are on the throne of my heart. You are supreme. Everything bows the knee to you. And again, if you don't know this Jesus, would you make today be the day that you decide him? Let today be the day you say, I want to follow him. So here's a couple ways that we just want to make that accessible for you. In a few moments, our prayer team's going to be up over here. We encourage you, get prayer for anything. But also, if you want to know this Jesus today, walk up to them and say, I want today to be the day that I bow the knee to Jesus. Talk to me. Go to our next steps area. Let us know. I want to know this Jesus. I want to bow the knee to him today. So you got that prayer team we talked about. You also got a Connect card and seat back in front of you. If you're new here or newer, if you've been here maybe for 5 weeks and you've been dodging that Connect card, fill it out. We got a bag of goodies. It's great. We'd love to meet you. And then you can come to start here and eat some Supreme Pizza with me. It'll be awesome. There's also prayer cards in the seat back in front of you. We are getting tons of those prayer cards filled out, and we love it. Please keep them coming, church family. We love that. So VDCC, who calls the shots in your life? The answer to that makes all the difference. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for this, getting to worship you, your wonderful name, Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Forever you reign. Whether we acknowledge that or not, that's your story. That's the truth. So Jesus, I ask you with each one of my friends and myself, may we continue to bow the knee before the conquering King. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for your rule and your reign, and that you are the compassionate and comprehensive King that you are. So God, we need you. We love you. Be with each of my friends as they go out here today. And would you help them as they continue to make you Lord and King of their life? Thank you. There's no menial task. There's nothing going on in their life that you don't care about. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you, King Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your day. Go to Vinny's, get a Supreme Pizza. We'll see you next week.